God's good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Pray with me just for a second. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we worship you, we honor you. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. We thank you for every testimony. We thank you that that we have our hope and our confidence in you. And just as Sister Sharon said, you, as you closed out the book of Revelation, you said, "Behold, I come quickly." And yes, Lord, we know that you are coming quickly, and there's much work that needs to be done. But to be able to do that work, each one of us, we need to be in the place and the position where your covenant is flowing through us, where your promises that you have said yes to, we say amen to, and we receive them. There's people in this building tonight that need a touch from you physically, emotionally. And I know that you're here to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we choose to just yield to you and do what you would have. So right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear. We thank you for a wide open heart by the Holy Ghost. And anything that would hinder us from being able to hear and to receive what you'd have for us, we bind it in Jesus' name. We thank you for your ministering spirits who are here among us to bring to pass what your Spirit speaks to our heart. They are ministering because we are heirs of salvation and they're here. And we want them to be loosed in our lives. We want the Word to work in our lives. Help us, Father, tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory. I was going to preach on kingdom living, but I think the Lord wants to do something different in this service to touch each and every one of us. So let's build our faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We've edified each other with testimony. We've encouraged each other. And that's all well and good, and that's needful. But only this Bible can do what needs to be done in our life. Amen? So I'm just going to follow the unction of the Lord, and you get in here and help me, and let's see what God wants to do. He wants to work a miracle in everybody's life. Amen? You remember last Sunday night we had a fresh baptism of love? I don't know about you, but I've had the best week I've ever had in my life for love, because God don't lie. Amen? He don't lie. He has helped me tremendously. And that's real. So I believe he's wanting to do some real stuff tonight. So you pray with me, pray for me, and let's do what the Lord would have us to do. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Glory. Let's let faith rise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 8. Starting at verse number 1. Matthew 8 and 1, talking about Jesus. He just gets done preaching the greatest teaching message that you can preach. Let's look what he says. And when he was come down, when Jesus was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, "See that thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our life. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this service today, Lord. Thank you for what you're fixing to do in each and every one of our hearts, souls, and lives, and our bodies, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I believe it's you, Lord, and I understand it's you, Father. And I thank you for your presence in that, Lord. Give us the ability to steal our mind and step forth in the Spirit, Lord, and understand what's going on at this time, Lord, and receive it into our hearts, Lord.
Yes.
And I thank you and give you the glory and the honor and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Donnie. Thank you for honoring the Word. Now, isn't this exciting to you and I that we realize and understand that we may have something that is afflicting us or hindering us or limiting us that the world doesn't want to have anything to do, but Jesus, it doesn't bother him at all to come and touch us. Now, we know what the law was, and we understand the distance that this man had to be and separated from everybody else, and everywhere he went, he had to announce that he was unclean. So you can imagine the shame, you can imagine the heartache, you can imagine the torment he had, but somewhere along the way, from a distance, he had been watching Jesus. Tonight, you and I, we may be real close to Jesus in one area or in various areas, but tonight the Lord wants us to get close to him in every area. Amen? Because when you and I get close enough to touch Jesus and he's close enough to touch us, whatever's wrong in our life, I don't care what the bad report is, he's the one who gives the good report. Amen? So here comes this man, and he comes down, and I love it. He worships Jesus. And look what he says. He says, Lord. That's what it's all about. Here he is. He's in a death sentence condition. Come on now, leprosy is a death sentence. And he's got a death sentence on him, but he looks at Jesus and he worships him. He doesn't let his situation determine whether he worships Jesus. He doesn't let his attitude determine whether he worshiped Jesus. I'm sure he was in pain. I'm sure he had such things going through his mind as the devil tried to torment him. But he says, no, I see Jesus, and I don't just see him as Jesus. I see him as Lord. So every time that you and I look in the New Testament and we see where Jesus is called Lord, the word is kurios in the Greek, and it means that you are acknowledging, I'm acknowledging Jesus as the one who is supreme in authority. That means he has the last say, not the doctor,
amen.
Not anybody in the world, and definitely not the devil. Amen? So you and I tonight, we're going to worship the Lord as healer. We're going to worship the Lord as deliverer because that's exactly who he is. He's praise God for salvation, but he's not just Savior. We can be saved and not be able to do what God wanted us to do. That's the whole theme of where we went in the testimony service. Did you not get everybody? You're on board with that, right? That wasn't time wasted. That wasn't words that were empty. That was words that were showing us what we need to do and what we can do. Amen? Because what everybody said was, it boils down to this. Jesus is on the throne, and I'm going to be used by him. I'm going to do what he wants me to do, and the harvest is going to come in. People are going to be changed. So I want us tonight to be in the place and the position to recognize that whatever Jesus wants to do in our life, if we'll allow him, if we'll worship him for it ahead of time, it can be done. Now, the Holy Spirit is just prompting me. He wants me to read enough word that our faith level rises above anything the enemy would do to try to discourage us. Amen? So you just bear with me. And I know that you know these scriptures, but it's not what we know, it's what we practice. Amen? Let's see what happens here. Now, verse number 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now, this is important. Centurion is a man that's over, he's a captain over 100 men in the Roman army. And here he is, he comes to Jesus because Jesus has come to Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is important for you and I to understand because if you fully translate it, you get a message out of it instead of just, oh, he went to Dover. He went to Russellville. That didn't mean anything to us. So when it says that Jesus went to Capernaum, what does it mean? Capernaum means village of Nahum. Nahum meaning comfort, village of comfort. You and I today, we've got to recognize and realize we may be comfortable in our home, in our easy chair. But there's people around us who are not. And if we're not careful, we can get so comfortable in our little situation that we miss out on everybody around us that God's wanting us to help. And I think that's why the Lord went in this direction tonight with the testimony service, with the prayers, with the understanding of being in that place, of filling in that gap. So the centurion, he comes to Jesus and he says, I've got somebody that I love that's grievously tormented. You and I tonight, every one of us, we got somebody that we love. They're hurting. There's people in this world all around us tonight. They're going to go to bed hungry spiritually, hungry emotionally, and sadly, hungry physically. So we need to be in the place. And notice what he says. And saying, verse 6, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Notice Jesus. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Now, we done heard where the man with the leprosy come to Jesus, and he said, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, what? I will. The centurion comes to Jesus on behalf of somebody else. And Jesus says, what? I will. Why would we leave this place tonight with anything in our heart, anything in our body that wasn't whole? When we serve a Savior, where the Word of God says that stripes was laid upon His body, that you and I might receive our healing. You say, well, my age, my condition, my situation, my past. Did Jesus address any of that? He didn't say anything about that to the leper. He didn't say anything about that to the centurion about his servant. All he said was, I will. So tonight, come on, lift your hands up to Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, that you will.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you will. Thank you, Lord, that you will. Thank you, Lord, that you will. Oh, hallelujah. Our God's willing. Our God's willing. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. And what we got to do tonight is we've got to take the doctor's report. We've got to take what somebody has cursed us with, maybe even family, and said this, this, and this about us, and said this is what you are and this is what you're going to be. And we're going to say, uh-uh, that's a lie. Put it under the feet of Jesus. I am going to be healed by Jesus. Amen? He's willing. So the ball is not in his court. We don't have to beg it down, plead it down. All we have to do tonight is to reach up and receive. Amen? That's it. Because he's willing. Now stay with me. He says, verse number 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Notice what he says. Now mark this down in your Bible where you'll have it. But speak the word only. But speak the word only. But speak the word only, and my servant might be healed. Come on now. The most powerful assertion in the English language, I will or I shall. Now this man is a man under authority. And so he knows the authority of heaven. Tonight we've got a Gentile that knows more, an unbeliever in a sense. Understand what I'm saying? That knows more about the structure and the authority of God than in the Christian church today. So we need to repent of that. And say, Lord, I'm sorry, but now I want to come under your covenant, under your structure of authority, and recognize that the devil is lying. He's stealing, killing, destroying, just like you said. Amen? And so I want to receive what you have for me. All right. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, verse 9, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. Tonight, I want you and I to make Jesus marvel. Come on now, if a centurion, a Roman soldier, can make Jesus Christ marvel, how much more can you and I, as a blood-bought, blood-washed Christian, make him marvel? He's looking for somebody to believe him tonight. to believe him beyond what you've heard, what's been ingrained in you over a long period of time, and to accept by faith what he wants to do. Amen? Verse number 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Great faith. Now we know the story. That very selfsame hour, this centurion servant is healed because Jesus sent the word. He sent the word. He sent the word. So we've got to be in the place and the position to understand when Jesus has done something for one, he does it for all. Now, there's special manifestations and all of that. We understand and we know that. But you and I could live and die waiting for a special manifestation. How many people were laid in John chapter 5 around the pool of Bethesda waiting for the angel to come down and stir the water? They lived there and they died there waiting for the troubling of the water. We can't wait for a miracle. We got to, by faith, reach out and let Jesus do what only Jesus can do. Amen? Okay. Let's go to Psalms 107. Psalms 107. I think about verse 19. Let's start with 17. Psalms 107, verse 17. Psalms 107, verse 17. Notice what it said. It says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted." Now, that can't offend you. Because if that offends you, you're going to leave here the same way you come. Because I'm willing to admit I've done foolish things. No, anybody else done anything foolish? But we got a word that'll take care of that. Now, I'm saying that for a reason, because the anointing of the Holy Ghost brought that to my attention, because you cannot believe tonight that because of something you've done in your past can stop what Jesus wants to do for your future. Now, that is so anointed, I can barely stand here. You can believe it or not, but I tell you what, this is power. This is power. This is life-changing power, and you've got to believe it. Your past is your past, and it's gone. Because now your life is Jesus, and you're washed in the blood, and that has nothing to do with what he wants to do now, tomorrow, and the eternity. Amen? All right, stay with me. Verse number 18, talking about the ones who've done foolish things. "Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death." This is what the devil wants to do. He wants to cause you and I to be under condemnation and to say, because I've done this and I've done that, or I haven't done this and I haven't done that, that I can't draw nigh unto God, and I'm not going to eat the meat of God. I'm not going to eat the Word of God. And when you don't eat the meat or the Word of God, you draw nigh unto the gate of death. I draw nigh unto the gate of death. We've got to live. Man does not live by, but by every word, right, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4, Deuteronomy 8:3. Come on now. Jesus quotes the word, and he fulfills the word. So here we are tonight. Oh, my. With a place to move out of where death is trying to work. Death is trying to close a gate around you and I in certain areas of our life, but Jesus is the door of life. Amen? Okay, hold your place just for a second. Matthew 7:13 and 14, but 13 first. Thank you, Sister Kayla. Matthew, start with verse 13. Matthew 7:13. Jesus teaching, "Enter ye in at the straight gate." Straight gate, not the death gate. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction." And look at this sad note. "And many there be which go in thereat." many. That's why Sister Apple was talking about praying. That's why Sister Sharon was talking about praying. That's why Brother Whitby was talking about praying. Amen? Because there's many that's going into that death gate. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. We got a gate of life. Amen? She talked about the door. Jesus is the door. Amen? And few be there that find it. We got to help people find this door. Get them away from this gate. So they may have erred in the past. You may have erred in the past. I may have erred in the past. But we're not going to be foolish. Amen? We're going to be wise and we're going to listen to the Lord. Okay, back to Psalms 107, verse number 19. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. Tonight, all we got to do is cry unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you got to get honest with God, and you got to say, Lord, this is my problem. This is my situation. This is what man says. This is what the doctor says. This is what I know to be true in the natural, but I'm not a natural being. I'm a spiritual being. And you have a word for me, and that word is that Jesus is my great physician. Amen? He wants to anoint your head, my head, where our cup will runneth over. Amen? That's the Lord that we serve. Now, notice what happens. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of all glory, out of all, it should say, their distresses. From the Hebrew, it's inclusive. Verse 20. How did he do it? Verse 20. This is what the centurion said. He sent his word. Now, who's the word? In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Jesus, right? He sent his word, and what did he do? He healed them, and he delivered them from their destructions. You know this word destruction from the Hebrew? It means to a pitfall. To fall in the pit. Now, you and I, the devil wants to trip us up. He doesn't want you saved. But if you do get saved, he wants to keep you just so beat down, so weary, so under bondage in the flesh and in your mind, so sickly and weakly that you can't do what God called you to do. Amen. All right. So, he sent his word. And so we have Jesus working in the New Testament showing that this has been not just a prophetic word to Israel, but it's a word to the church. It's a word to you and I tonight. Amen? So, Exodus chapter 15, Exodus chapter 15, verse number 26, I think. Let's see. Hallelujah. Notice this. Exodus 15, 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and will keep all of his statutes. Look what God says, talking through Moses to his people. This is under the old covenant. This is to Israel. But look what he says. I will put none of these diseases. Now, what it says, I will allow none of these diseases. God's not the author of sickness and disease. The devil is. But if I get out of covenant with God, then God's hand comes away from me. And if God's hand comes away from me, then the devil, he'll put it on me. Amen? Okay. I will not allow none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon or allowed upon the Egyptians. Why? For I am the Lord that what? He is your Lord, my Lord, Kyrios, supreme in authority, that heals us. Now, if that was the covenant with the children of Israel, and Hebrews says that we've got a new covenant in Jesus Christ, a better covenant established on better promises, then how much more do you and I need to shout tonight? We need to shout. We need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God Almighty, through His Son, Jesus Christ, by those stripes that the devil doing trying to torment Him, Jesus, His body broken in seven places for complete healing. That's yours tonight. That's mine tonight. Now, some of us, we need to accept the crown of thorns where our mind can be healed. Others, it may be different areas in your body, but every place He bled and His body was broken, it was. And when you say that, you got to be careful, because people say, not a bone was broken. I didn't say bone. I said body. Was broken for our healing. And so we've got to believe this tonight. And if we'll believe it, things are going to happen. Amen? Mark chapter 1. Notice what it says about Jesus. How much time we got? Can we take this a little bit more time? Okay. Let's start at verse 23 then. Mark 1:23. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Who cried out? The unclean spirit. The man didn't even know he had it. The unclean spirit's talking through the man. Because we know, verse 24... saying, what did he say? It wasn't the man, it was the spirit, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. So here's this man. He's going to church, quote unquote, going to the synagogue every time. They prayed three times a day. He comes in. He's been to church with all these people all this time and never knew he had a problem until there was anointing greater in the positive than the anointing negative on his life. Now, I'm not just throwing something together. You stay with me. The Lord's going to show us what He's talking about. Our God's the author of life. The devil is the author of death. And he works it any and every way he can. Okay? So you can be in church, I can be in church, and we can be oppressed to the devil. Now stay with me. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Verse 26. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. Verse 27, and they were all amazed in so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? Notice this now. For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Now, why are we reading that? We're reading that because whether you understand it or believe it or not, and we don't have to agree on everything, of course, but the book of Hebrews chapter 1 tells us about God's holy angels, His ministering spirits. And every one of them, they have an anointing on their life to bring different things to you, through you. Because it says they are ministers not just for the heirs of salvation, but they're to minister according to what you say. You have the ability to loose them. Remember what Jesus said? In Matthew chapter 16, He said, I give you the keys. And with those keys, you can bind or you can loose. And so many times, we spend so many times binding the devil, which does very little good. Because I'm sorry, you and I don't have enough faith to bind the devil. We need to bind the spirit that's working in our life. Our authority realm is in our life. It's in this church. It's in your family. Amen? And so Jesus has shown us an example. When you come into a situation and you know the enemy is talking through somebody, you use your authority. Amen? And you recognize what's going on, because just as the ministering spirits, the holy angels of God, are anointed to bring his will, his plan, the devil's angels, the evil spirits, the demons, whatever you want to call them, that have fell from grace, they still have that anointing. It's just turned negative. How do we know that? Because the Bible is just and fair. What does the Bible say? The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. God never changed. So even if I backslid right now and I'd never followed God again, the giftings in my life will still be there. But all of a sudden, instead of using them for God, use them for the devil. Now, I don't know about you, but I can sit and I can listen to certain singers. You know, like, you know, you all get in a situation where you have to listen to certain things. I feel the anointing. But they're not using it for Jesus Christ. Amen? They're using it for... But here we are tonight, and the understanding, I'm trying to take us full circle, that Jesus knows what's happening in our life, and he knows how to help us. Put Acts 10:38 on there. Acts 10:38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Now notice the next part, healing. Now, why did they need healing? Healing all that were oppressed of who? The devil. See, the doctor wants to tell you, your problem is because you've done this and you've done that and you've done this and you've done that. Now, we do bring things and aggravate things in our life. But the source of everything, there was no sickness, there was no problem until the serpent walked into the garden. He slithered out. But he walked into the garden and sin come. That's when problems came. Before then, they were clothed in the glory of God. Everything was perfect. So God had to, now the Bible says that Satan, the serpent, the old dragon, he was the anointed cherubim that covered the mercy seat. Now, are we all on the same page here? You following me? The anointing on him was so great that it was to guard Jesus' seat. So God had to anoint Jesus. I'm talking about in the flesh. You know, because he walked in this flesh. He had to anoint him to a level that was greater where he could destroy the works of the devil. Hebrews 2:14 tells us that's why Jesus was manifested, that he done that, along with the epistle of 1 John. So tonight, whether we've got something that we think that we brung on ourselves, whether we think that it's a diagnosis that the doctor has brought, or it's just the way we feel, we need to know that we've got a Savior that is anointed greater than what the enemy's trying to destroy in and out of our life. Amen? So I want you to take home with you tonight the reality that Jesus said, I will. I will. I challenge you. You can't find one person that Jesus said no. Not about healing. That's blood bought. That's in the covenant. And it doesn't matter if you're 1 year old or you're 100 year old. You and I are to live out our days in strength. Amen? And to go to heaven rejoicing, a witness and a testimony. The church is going out of here without a spot and without a blemish. And we're going out of here in power and glory. So why, if I go before the church, Why should I not go out in power and in glory? You feel that anointing? Now, you got to believe that. I got to believe that tonight. So our God is willing. So the centurion said, Lord, speak the word only. And then we look at Psalms 107:20, and it says that God sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all of their destructions. So God has done spoke the word. All we've got to do is recognize that level of authority. And we say, I'm standing under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Devil, no you don't. Amen? Is your faith on the rise? Come on, we got to believe God. We're going to pray, but I want us to all to be on the same page. I want you to be expecting. When they brought, if we'd have kept reading in Mark chapter 1, they brought Jesus to Peter's mother-in-law. Why did they do that? Because they were expecting. They were expecting. She just didn't have a little fever. She was struck with a great fever from the Greek. That fever was going to take her life. But Jesus, what did he do? He spoke to the fever. Because that fever was not just a fever. That fever was a spirit. Amen? And so you and I have got to speak to some things. We got to bind the spirit that's working. And we got to loose what God would have. You know, God's got healing angels that are just standing around waiting to bring into your life and my life what we need. Now, they bring it to us through the cross. Everything comes through Jesus. They bring us through the stripes. So we're not leaving Jesus out. We're not worshiping angels. But it's time that we start using what God has gave us. Amen? Hallelujah. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we worship you. We honor you. We thank you for the power of your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are anointed. And we feel your anointing right now because you're walking in amongst us. And your word tells us that every yoke is destroyed. That means it can't be put back together. It's not just broke, it's destroyed by your anointing. Father, I ask that you would touch each person in this place. Lord, I feel the hurt that is in their life. But more importantly, I feel the hurt that is in your life because you ache for us. You ache for your children when you see them tormented by the enemy. Lord, I ask that you would just take over this service, help each one of us yield to you, and allow you time to do what only you can do. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that not one person leave here until they receive what you have for them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the Lord that will provide. But you're also Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals completely. We ask you, Father, expectantly, urgently, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you make yourself an altar? Would you come to this altar or come sit on the front? Whatever you need to do, and just spend some time with the Lord and worship Him. Worship Him as healer. See Him above what the doctor said. See Him above what you're dealing with in your mind. See Him above the brokenness, the hurt that the enemy has brought. And then we're going to pray. We're going to pray one for another. And we're going to pray the fervent prayer of a righteous man and woman, boy and girl. We're going to see God move. Amen? Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make you an altar. You settle it in the Lord and you worship Him above your situation. You worship Him above what you're feeling, what you're thinking, what you've dealt with. And tonight's your night. Say it with me. Tonight's my night. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus.